Stephanie Klett.
Stephanie Klett, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism.
I love it. So I'm with a government mucky muck big wing.
Yes.
Yeah, this is really cool. And I heard that you were flying around with the governor.
Well, in tourism, we have something called National Travel and Tourism Week. And in 1983, there was a congressional resolution to create National Tourism Week. And it was really to showcase how important travel and tourism is to the economy. And so that continues to this day. And here in Wisconsin, tourism is a $20.6 billion industry.
You were saying earlier, the explosive growth just from 2011 to today is incredible.
Yes, I was appointed by Governor Walker in 2011, and tourism in Wisconsin is up 40% since then to $20.6 billion.
It's like 200,000 people directly employed in tourism?
Yeah, about 195,000 people. And, you know, a lot of folks say, oh, well, it's tourism. Those are just part-time jobs. Well, a small percentage, that's true, and that's important for a lot of people to have that first job. But a lot of those jobs are family-sustaining jobs. And what we've learned is that people who have a first job in tourism over the course of their life end up making more money. And I think that's because really you have a servant mentality. You know, when you get that first job in tourism, you have to give good customer service. And a lot of folks are not used to that. But for us, that's our bread and butter in this industry. It's a huge differentiator. And we know you give great customer service, folks are coming back again and again.
Somebody earlier was talking about the hotel they were staying at. And they go, you know, it's not over the top, but it's the people, the staff that make it exceptional, make you want to come back. You could have a 5-star gold-plated place, and if you had surly, nasty people, you would never want to come back.
That is so true, and that's something I love about Wisconsin. You know, you've heard the term salt of the earth, but we really are. Yep. And so that person-to-person interaction is so important, and I think it's kind of retro. You know, people are like, whoa, this brings me back to a different time, that's what you get here.
Well, even you experienced that with me earlier. I was telling you about Appleton. What did I talk about? The people, right?
You did.
Yeah, it wasn't the, oh my God, you know, I was at a cheese place, I was at a dairy, I was at a candle shop, but I was telling you about how awesome the people were.
And that's so important because we do live in the most gorgeous country. And yes, I am biased, but I mean everything from the Grand Canyon to the central coast of California to Wisconsin, you know, home to over 15,000 lakes. Every state is beautiful.
Does Minnesota know this?
Ah, they do. They do. Now, I will say Minnesota has over 15,000, too.
Well, they do. But they only claim 10,000.
Well, you know, and I like I say, ours have fish. Uh-huh. So our 15,000 is strong. By the way, we love you, Minnesota. We do. Yeah. But, you know, and that's getting to know people and that customer service element. That's what makes your place special and what really calls to people and speaks to their heart.
What I'm more familiar with in tourism in Wisconsin are Wisconsinites going on holiday, like you. You come here to Lake Geneva. That's your vacation. That's your getaway. So you have this internal tourist industry where all the Wisconsinites are cruising around and seeing their own state, but then you have this whole national tourism draw and international.
You know, it's interesting you say that, and thanks for bringing that up, because 50% of people who live in Wisconsin, and we're getting close to 6 million folks, 50% vacation here. And it's because we're the waterfall capital of the Midwest and we have these great natural resources and our state parks are always ranked in the top 5 in the country. So we have smart folks here. And I think in Wisconsin, we like a good bargain. We're the Midwest. We're a little bit more fiscally conservative. But national and international tourism for Wisconsin has really grown. International tourism in our state is about a $600 million industry.
Wow. And what are the stats? What are the prime demographic draws from where?
1, 2, and 3 for us. United Kingdom, Germany, and Japan.
And China has to be coming up on the radar.
China is coming up on the radar. But you know what? You talk about really discriminating travelers who expect a lot. And so the Department of Tourism, for the first time ever, put together our first, in Mandarin, visitor guide for the Chinese visitor. And of course, with Harley Davidson, there is a great interest in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there is. And that's right there in Milwaukee with the wonderful museum that's worth a trip to Wisconsin in itself.
You know what, Tom? I like the way you say Milwaukee. It is. Milwaukee is really a world-class city. And I was just interviewing a guy who wrote the song and sang it, Sunshine and Whiskey.
Yeah.
He's from Nashville. But he said, boy, Milwaukee reminds me of Nashville. It's just this up-and-coming city. It's on a great lake, Lake Michigan. It's got the world-class Milwaukee Art Museum. It's absolutely gorgeous. And, of course, we are brewery central. So if you like brews and microbreweries, Milwaukee is the place for you to go.
I think they invented beer there.
Well, if we didn't, we're going to claim it anyway.
Yeah.
We perfected it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually, in my background in construction, I have all Milwaukee tools.
Is that right?
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, the best tools in the world.
You know what, Tom? I knew I liked you from the moment I met you.
I have a Milwaukee Delta bandsaw that an old doctor sold me that was like 1950. And we joke that it's made out of leftover World War II tank parts.
Oh, my gosh.
You cannot kill an old Milwaukee tool.
Oh, that's so cool to hear. And I got to tell you, because you brought up World War II, uh-huh. Something a lot of folks don't know about Wisconsin is our rich history in service. So the number one fighter pilot of all time is a guy named Major Richard Ira Bong from the tiny town of Poplar, Wisconsin, population 400. If you know where Superior and Duluth, Minnesota is,
sure, yeah.
It's way in northwest Wisconsin. But he was so amazing. He had 40 official enemy planes down, 80 unofficially.
Wow.
But so popular that Bob Hope and Bing Crosby asked for his autograph. So basically the USA said, we need to retire him because he's a hero. We don't want anything to happen to him. So he ended up being in California test flying planes for Lockheed.
Interesting. On that same note, a couple hours ago, I was in Milwaukee, and I was at the airport, and I emailed...
General Mitchell.
I emailed my World War II historian friend that just wrote a book about World War II aviators, and I said, guess where I'm at? The General... Billy Mitchell Airfield, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And he's got an amazing story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, we also have something people don't know about Wisconsin, is 11 sovereign nations. So when you think
of
Wisconsin,
wow.
A lot of folks, you know, we have 72 beautiful counties, but you don't think of 11 different tribes.
I know, and that's the other thing I was going to ask you about, is so many of the names of Wisconsin towns are Native American towns.
Oh, like Le Coudere and Lac du Flambeau. There's a person, Private Mitchell Red Cloud, and he was the first Ho-Chunk tribal nation member to ever be the recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor. So if you ever research Corporal Mitchell Red Cloud, his story will just bring a tear to your eye, a lump to your throat, from Wisconsin.
So the Winnebagoes, are they?
Winnebagoes are here?
Yeah, so they make the camper vans? Just joking.
And Oneida, and we have the Mole Lake, and yes, Pottawatomie.
So a lot of really famous names that are associated with American history.
It's true.
The reality.
Well, and then people forget this too. I mean, if you've ever heard of Harry Houdini, of course, Appleton's his home. Orson Welles, he's from the Kenosha Racine area. But we have just a really interesting history. The great Liberace. He's from the Milwaukee area.
You might not even know the secret because Wisconsinites and Minnesotans, they just take it for granted. But I always tell people, I said, one of the reasons why there's so many brilliant inventions from Wisconsin and Minnesota is because all the lazy people got killed off in the winters.
Oh.
And so,
And so, I actually love that.
No, it's true.
No, you know what? You have to be a hardy person.
Yeah.
You really do.
If you don't have the metal, man, either you, you move away or you die.
Well, and you know, because of that, we have created these amazing winter activities. You know, we're home to the American Birkebeiner, which is the largest cross-country ski race in North America. It's 52 kilometers. And all I can say is you're crazy. I cheer on these people for about 10 minutes, and then I'm going to the nearest bar and getting warm and having a beverage.
And how about the skidoo races on the lake, where they're going like 100 miles an hour in these little...
It's crazy. Right. The snowmobiling. And, of course, Eagle River, Wisconsin is the snowmobile capital of the world. That's not just a catchphrase. It's a copyright. Yeah. So we have tens of thousands of miles of snowmobile trails here. Yeah. I used to not be a winter person, but to really understand this state and to fall in love with it, you've got to become a winter person. And once you do, you can't go back.
And you go out.
Yeah, you do.
You don't stay in.
Now, have you been tubing? Have you ever been snow tubing?
I have, sure, because remember I'm from Minnesota.
Oh, that's right, you are.
Yeah. Okay, well, how about ice pond hockey? You have that, right?
Do we have it? You mean, are we home to the International Ice Pond Hockey Championships and the U.S. Ice Pond Hockey Championship? It's a little tongue twister. We are.
Yeah.
And so we get teams from all over America for
and
ice.
Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, no, it's big in this state.
Okay, and one of my favorite ones is a friend of mine. She would go sturgeon ice spear fishing on Lake Winnebago in the middle of the winter. Yeah, how cool is that?
Well, and I have to tell you, next year, the good folks in Fond du Lac, where you're going to find Lake Winnebago. And Lake Winnebago, for folks who don't know, is one of the largest inland lakes in the United States. It's huge, but they have the prehistoric fish that are like 100 years old.
And they're from like the dinosaur era, huh?
They truly are. And they're kind of scary. Really, they are.
And they're huge.
They're massive. I know. You'd expect
little whales.
Yeah, you'd expect to find them in an ocean, and that's what they look like. So they are making me the sturgeon queen next year.
Really?
So they're making a tiara with a mini whale on the top of it.
Well, that means I got to come back in the middle of the winter.
I think you need to.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do a little trash talking with you about who can get the biggest sturgeon.
And then how about the little huts, the ice...
the ice shanties.
Yeah, the shanties. Some of these guys, I was out last winter up by Door County, and they had little TVs out there and heaters and, yeah.
This is no joke. I have a neighbor who's an ice fishing madman.
Yeah.
He has an ice shanty, and I'm actually winking at you as I say that. That costs more than my home. I am not kidding you.
And he toes it out. Wow.
It is amazing. I mean, you might as well have a fireplace. I mean,
it probably does.
It's got the big screen TV. It's got every amenity. And it will let him know so he can have cocktails or dinner with friends if the fish tip is going down.
And it's not just a guy thing. I know many women that are just rabid, venomous, just ardent out there on the lake.
Well, and fishing in Wisconsin is obviously a multi-billion dollar industry. Mm-hmm. You know, we have great lakes here. In fact, you know, here in Lake Geneva, as we look out at Geneva Lake itself.
What happens here in the winter?
Oh, will you talk about ice shanty heaven?
Yeah.
You will see it right here. Now, you're here a month ago. You would have still seen a few ice shanties out there.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's a whole village. And they do the ice sailing here as well. Lake Geneva is a big sailing area. It's home to Buddy Melgus, one of the most decorated sailors in the U.S. But they do a lot of wind sailing and then winter sailing.
The key to having fun in Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota in the winter, as we both know, is dressing appropriately.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, in Wisconsin, when we're lucky, when it gets cold enough long enough, at the top of our state, you're going to find Bayfield and the Apostle Islands. It's a national island lakeshore, 22 islands.
The Apostle Islands are legendary.
Stunning. Yeah. They're stunning any season. But our winters have been cold enough that they freeze over and create these ice caves. Mm-hmm. So you have to go to this point where you walk 1 mile to get into the cave. And it is all about how you dress. When I was there a few years ago, the ice caves were in full glory. A woman took this 1 mile pilgrimage. This is frozen Lake Superior. And it's closed ice, but open, you know, wind, no trees.
Open,
And she was wearing flats.
No.
And she, halfway through, was bawling. But bless these folks who came in really from all over the world. They, like, wrapped towels around her and extra coats to get her there because you couldn't really get her back and you couldn't get her there. But dress right and moisture management is the key.
Yeah, no kidding. So it sounds like, and again, I've been here in the winter. I've been in Michigan in the winter. But I never really thought about it as a tourism industry, a winter industry. It really is, isn't it?
It is, and it really depends where you are in the state and what you like to do. One of our cities is Wisconsin Dells, and Wisconsin Dells is known as the water park capital of the world, and it used to really be a summer destination. Well, now it's a four-season destination, and same with Lake Geneva. It was really kind of a spring, summer, fall.
Kind of shut down in the winter.
Exactly, but now with the advent of indoor water parks and everything you can do indoors, and great restaurants and culinary tourism is really big in Wisconsin. We're very proud of that. So we're a four-season destination, even if you don't want to, you know, brave the freezing winters.
Well, since we're overlooking Lake Geneva, This is my first time here.
It is.
Yeah, I know about it, you know, but I know very little.
Oh, my gosh.
But I know what my friends go, oh, my gosh, this was such a cool place back in the day when the big mansions were built.
Yes.
Tell us about the history and how it became what it is today.
Well, when you come to Lake Geneva, what it's most known for is the lake itself. And it's a spring-fed lake. It's extremely deep, and it's so clean and clear. But it really came to prominence in the 1800s. Everybody's heard of the Chicago Fire. Well, Chicago's a one-hour drive from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. So what happened is a lot of beer barons, lumber barons, lost their homes. And so what they did is they came to Lake Geneva and built along the gorgeous lakefront. So today, one of my favorite things to do in Lake Geneva, and even if you only want to do a quarter of a mile or half mile, you've got to do part of the 21-mile lakeshore path around the lake.
So it's a lot of the old classic 1880s, 1890s homes are still here.
These are mansions that today I can't even imagine what they would cost to build. They sell for $10 and $15 million. Wow. But what's nice is on one side of your walk, you have this amazing mansion. And of course, this is home to the Maytags and the Wrigleys, even the guy who created Barney, the dinosaur.
Really?
Yes, has a place here, Schwinn Bicycles. Mm-hmm. And then you've got this gorgeous lake to your other side. And so you're walking past history while experiencing the beauty of the lake. And most places, you know, if you've got a $10 million mansion, no one's walking in your backyard. Well, the ordinance is that it will always be that way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
So it is.
So they can't fence them out.
No, it's the most amazing thing to do, and it's what you will find me doing on any day off.
So this is your getaway, your go-to place.
It is. It's 30 miles from my hometown, which is Beloit, a city I'm very proud of. A lot of industrial roots. We are home to the world's largest can of chili, because Hormel is there. We're home to the world's largest collection of angels, the Beloit Angel Museum. In fact, Oprah Winfrey donated her collection of black angels. It's a really unique city. The oldest college of continuing education in Wisconsin, the real Indiana Jones character was based on a graduate of Beloit College, Roy Chapman Andrews. So Lake Geneva for me is 30 miles, and yet you feel a world away from anything.
Back to the economic engine and the human side. Fitting with the Wisconsin personality, I've never been someplace where there's such modesty of these incredible people. And I'll give you an example.
What a nice thing to say.
Well,
thank you.
It's critical. It's what I see on the ground.
Aww.
I went to Racine, and I'm at S.C. Johnson & Company.
Yeah, Frank Lloyd Wright Building.
Yeah, well, when you hear the family story about Sam Johnson and how cool he was, he's the one that came up with the propellant in the spray cans that were non-air-driven, that weren't toxic. He was a contributor to Land Conservancy, Sierra Club, and whatnot, and didn't brag about it. He just did it.
Yes.
So I'm there. This is a $6 billion family-owned company, and I'm with the head people there and go, oh, my God, I want to do a radio interview with you guys about this. This is a cool story. And they go, no, we don't really care about that. It didn't matter. They didn't want to blow their horn. They just do it. And that was, to me, a symbolic classic example of a Wisconsin business that just does and does a great job.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting you say that because the S.C. Johnson company is amazing and the family, very, very humble. Mm-hmm. And in my hometown of Beloit, we have a company called ABC Supply Company. They're the world's largest producer of roofing supplies. And the guy who founded it, Ken Hendricks, I think he graduated from high school, but I'm not sure. Ken drove an old Jeep and wore jeans, and he was a self-made billionaire with a B.
Yeah.
And his wife today is carrying on that tradition. It's the same thing. They're just salt of the earth, and that's something I'm so proud about Wisconsin, and I think it's a Midwestern thing.
It is. I tease you guys. I go, you know, you guys are basically Canadians.
But not French Canadians, because we don't speak French. It's more German.
Yeah, but it's true. You know, there's that modesty that just permeates the whole state. And one more little thing, being background of the trades, I always tell people, do you know where the garbage disposal was invented? The home of incinerators?
Yes!
Yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Yay! Yeah. Well, and the malted milk powder?
Yeah.
Yes, and carry ingredients, again, my hometown of Beloit. So when you have that mac and cheese with the powder, hello, Beloit. No, it's...
And then back to tractors, the couple of...
Case, it looks like Case.
New Holland.
Yes, New Holland. Yes. I
mean, that's the legend of American agriculture mechanization right here.
I know, it is.
It's mind-blowing.
Well, and you know,
like I said, all the weak and dumb ones died off long ago.
Well, and with that, you know, our farmers, of course, we are America's Dairyland, but agritourism is really big in Wisconsin, obviously.
Talk to us, give us some specific example as how I would experience agritourism
here. Okay. Agritourism, first of all, you know, we are a brewing state, so our breweries. But something that surprises people is to learn how many wineries we have in Wisconsin, almost 150. But get this, here's a little trivia for you. There's a place now you can visit called the Wollersheim Winery. It's near Baraboo in a town called Prairie du Sac. And that's about 40 minutes from Madison, our state capital. But in the 1800s, a Hungarian count named Count August Harvesdi came to Wisconsin. Oh,
he's legendary.
He is legendary.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll get to that.
And in California.
Yes, yeah. But he was in Wisconsin first. So he came.
Of course, see, once
he
again.
He came to Wisconsin, and of course, here's this, he wanted to, you know, grow his grapes, his red grapes, and have this wine. Well, our winters were too harsh for red grapes, so off he went and was one of the founders of the California wine industry, but he was in Wisconsin first.
Did not know that. They've never told me that in California.
Yes.
It's like he just came originally, right, directly from the old country.
Well, it gets better.
Okay.
It gets better. So his winery, it lay dormant for, you know, 100 years until a guy named Bob Wollersheim purchased the property and said, we're going to make wines in Wisconsin. Now, it won't be red. It's going to be white. So he went to France and was looking for some great white wine winemakers and found a guy named Philippe Coucard. So Philippe came over from France. This is no joke. He thought Wisconsin was a city in California.
Oh.
So he started creating, you know, this amazing winery, and he fell in love with Bob's daughter.
Oh,
and
cute.
So they married, and so now he's a mentor to winemakers all over the state, and he has this award-winning winery.
I love it. Great story.
Yes.
Yeah. California's never told me about that part.
And you can still visit Count August Harvesdi's wine cave. They just reopened it for the first time in decades.
And then cherry wine.
Oh, Door County. Oh, you know what? Every person, really, put it on your bucket list before you die. You need to visit Door County, Wisconsin. They have a winery tour, and they are famous for Door County cherries. In fact, in May, right now, is the Cherry Blossom Festival. It goes on all month long. But, I mean, it's great cherry wines. And if fruit wine isn't your thing, don't worry. Because they have it sweet, they have it dry, they have it in between. But my favorite are their Door County cherries and dark chocolate. Oh, Lord have mercy. Instead of a normal orange juice mimosa, they do a cherry mimosa. One of the,
well, they're one of the, I think they were number one cherry producer in America at one point.
Well, that would not surprise me. We're the number one cranberry producer. That I do know for sure. But cherries, I am biased to Door County, so I'm going to say they're number one no matter what. Cherry French toast there is amazing.
Oh, my God. Yes, I've been there, yeah.
Yeah, you've been headed?
Yeah, at that famous bed and breakfast.
The Weichel Inn.
Yes. Oh, I would go back just for that.
You know what? Good Morning America ranked it the number one breakfast in America. Now, when you were in Door County, did you go to L. Johnson's Cafe with the goats on the roof?
Oh, did I? Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, I interviewed the owner, yeah. Yeah, that was really cute.
I love that you know Wisconsin.
Well, I went up in January and went on the Icebreaker ferry boat out to Washington Island. How fun.
Have you been there since they opened two lavender farms?
Yeah. I was just there in
winter. So you went to Franklin Isle?
Yeah.
With the woman, Martine Anderson, with the French accent from France? Oh, my gosh, you are amazing. And did you have the lawyer fish?
At the cafe? Yes. Yeah, yes, of course. I think that's mandatory.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But, you know, the guy who owns that restaurant, it's open 365 days a year, he is also a charter boat captain.
Skipper,
he catches the fish that morning and serves them that day.
And it's really a cute island. It's a small island. I think it's only like 700 or 800 full-time residents.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
But to get the ferry boat from the mainland to that island, you have to go through Death's Door.
Yeah.
And you will sometimes get 10-foot waves. There are times that I am saying the Lord's Prayer on that ferry boat. It's not
I think
pretty.
I would reroute my itinerary. Yeah. But it was fun being on crunching through the ice on the ferry boat. That was really cool.
Well, again, you know, you don't even feel like you're in Wisconsin. You feel like you're in Antarctica.
Yeah.
You know, it is. Yeah. It's just so surreal.
And again, dressing appropriately.
Moisture management.
Yeah. Okay, well, gosh. I don't know. I could go on forever with you. This has been too, and we've barely touched the state?
You know what? I hosted a television and radio show called Discover Wisconsin for 20 years. So I literally traveled 100,000 miles every year for 20 years and wrote 4,000 radio shows. And honestly, I still feel like I haven't even scratched the surface with everything there is to see and do.
Okay. Well, I hate to say it, but let's wrap.
And... No, Tom, no.
I know.
The crowd is having an uproar.
Yeah, really.
I'm really excited for you to explore Lake Geneva because you're going to feel the history and you're going to learn some stories that I want to tell you right now, but I know over the next few days you're going to discover and love it. It's a four-season destination, but there's something magical about it. It is a culinary city. There's a lot to do, but it still feels like a small town, so it's got the perfect blend of big and small, a rich history, but very modern at the same time. And, of course, there's that whole maritime history in this area as well. So it's a special place, and I'm really thrilled you're going to discover it.
Okay, one more. We can't go away without going there, maybe because we both take it for granted, and that is the awesome Wisconsin cheese and the cheese curds, which is reason enough to come on a culinary tour.
Well, curd is the word, and you know I'm a curd nerd, and you know you're speaking to the Limburger queen, and a Limburger is only made in Wisconsin. The whole country, no other place makes Limburger cheese.
Did not know that.
Yes, and did you know that the bacterium they use to ferment the Limburger that gives it that smelly sock, you know, it actually is the same bacterium that your feet emit when they're sweating. Into your socks.
How appetizing.
But you know what? We have more master cheesemakers in Wisconsin than anywhere else in the country.
And a little touch on the master cheesemaker, because this isn't a casual thing. This is like a PhD. I mean, these people study forever and grueling tests.
It's a decade process to become a master cheesemaker. And just a couple years ago, in 2016, Wisconsin won the International Award, which hadn't happened for 30 years for cheesemaking. And the national championship this past year, Wisconsin cheese took first, second, and third place.
Oh, I love it. And what is it? I mean, I've been here quite a few times and been to a lot of cheese places, Hammings and whatnot, and it's like this mystique as to what makes Wisconsin cheese so awesome.
You know what it is? Aside from the fact that we have great soil and great water, these cheesemakers, seriously, they treat their cheese like a baby. They wake up in the middle of the night to turn it at just the right time. They create caves so it ages at the perfect time. For them, it's like raising a child. And so I've never seen anything like it. Their work ethic is unbelievable.
I love it. What a wonderful way to start my latest journey.
Yay!
With Stephanie Klett.
It's a pleasure, Tom.
Yeah, and I hope you'll be with us tomorrow.
Oh, I would love it.
Yeah. You have to go to work. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.